live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Really appreciate you guys tuning in on what is this March 30th, 2020. I tell you, this month has just completely flown by, and what a month it has been. I really hope you guys are staying safe out there, staying inside. Of course, we are still getting through, still trucking along when it comes to battling the pandemic that is the coronavirus. A weekend for me in which, many of you spent the same thing doing. Inside, indoors, watching television, maybe watching some throwback sporting events. I know that throughout the weekend, you know, CBS actually aired the 1979 National Championship game in which Michigan State beat Indiana State, the famous Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird matchup. And then not too soon after that one, we saw the 2000 National Championship game in which Tom Izzo earned his first National Championship, hopefully at some point he gets number two, right? But he earned that first National Championship win as Michigan State topped Florida. Two historic moments in Michigan State basketball history, right? So a lot of you are finding other ways to whet your absence of sports, whet that appetite when it comes to the absence of sports out there. And, you know, video game simulations have been taking place. I touched on that last week. And, you know, a lot of things have come to a halt and have actually been extended, which I'll get to in just a moment when it comes to our headliners. And, you know, it's really forced us here at Current Sports to get a bit of creative when it comes to what the content is that we bring to you all. For instance, on today's show, we'll be having another throwback look that's been pretty popular these days here on Current Sports, as we take a look at an interview that I did with Casey Lubon, who is the head golf coach for the Michigan State men's golf program. And I want to take a look at an interview I did with Casey, who was always a fantastic guest and gives great insight, not only in the world of collegiate golf and golf in the Big Ten Conference, but just golf in general. And, you know, we touched on a few things, including during this moment, which we're going to throw it back to actually May 11th of 2018 when I had him in studio. Casey Lubon, he touched on his team competing in the regional round of the NCAA tournament, so golf's big dance, as the 11th seed in the Columbus region. And then we just talked everything from, like, you know, the majors in the world of golf and the comeback of Tiger Woods, if it is at all possible. So, you know, it was just a fun show. It's always great having Casey on, and we'll throw it back to that. Yeah, but before we get to that, in our headliners, we'll talk some cancellations, of course. We'll talk about the coronavirus still impacting the Olympics, and, you know, a new date has been set now when it comes to the Olympics being postponed for this year, and new details concerning those who qualify for this year's Olympics and whether or not that will roll over to the new date. So I'll get to that. Also, a few new signings for the Detroit Lions and so much more. All right. So you can weigh in on this Current Sports by picking up the phone and texting us. no calling, but texting us at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can leave a comment at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right? So much to get to, so let's keep this train a pushing. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this March 30th. Okay, we'll start here. The Big Ten Conference has extended its moratorium on team activities another month. Athletic teams at the 14-member schools cannot hold any practices or pursue any face-to-face recruiting activities. That's through May 4th, when the conference said it will reevaluate the situation with the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Now, the announcement comes 2 weeks after Big Ten officials suspended those activities until April 6th. Both Michigan State and Michigan already canceled their spring games. New commissioner Kevin Warren canceled the men's basketball tournament on March 12th after two games had been played the previous night. So, again, we're seeing this effect when it comes to the coronavirus, certainly in the world of sports, and we're starting to see dates actually extended now. So the Big Ten has extended another month when it comes to suspension on all team activities, and that does include face-to-face recruiting. So everything extends through May right now. So I also want to note, and this one really hurt me because I am an avid golfer, and in many ways, you know, I was talking to a good friend of mine over the weekend about, you know, hobbies in which we could, you know, indulge in and just to get our mind away from the pandemic and everything that's happening in our world and in our society, you know, just some escapes other than watching maybe Netflix and Amazon Prime. And I know that we, you know, it's a shelter in place order here in the state of Michigan. But I was chatting with a good friend of mine over the weekend, and we were just saying that, man, I really wish that we could just golf right now, that we could just get outside, you know, because that's just my escape period when it comes to anything in life. You know, I get outside and get on a golf course, and I'm in my own little world. You know, I don't answer phone calls. I'm not texting. I throw on some music, keep it low, of course. grab my 3-wood and we're on. I love it. It's nothing like the escape that is golf. But it looks as though I won't have that pleasure along with you, at least if you live in Michigan, and that's in a lot of different places. All right. Golfers in Michigan are going to have to find another form of recreation for the time being, because according to the executive order from Governor Gretchen Whitmer, attempting to try and slow the spread of COVID-19, the coronavirus, golfers can't be out there on the golf course. Whitmer clarified the stay-at-home order she issued this week to include golf courses, which previously had been allowed to stay open, actually, after she ruled that bars and restaurants were not allowed to serve customers on a dine-in basis. The golf courses have to remain closed for 3 weeks, according to an Associated Press story, and the topic was addressed on Michigan.gov in regards to Executive Order 2020-2021. So this is a website which you can go on and just basically ask questions. And somebody went on there and asked about the Michigan golf courses and whether or not those will stay open and whether or not people can still go out there and swing a club or three, right? So that can't happen. We all need to stay in to slow this virus and just be safe out there, folks. Please, please be safe. You know, I was talking with my sister, you know, and a lot of people, you know, I feel like, you know, won't take this virus serious until they are directly affected. That's just sadly how it is, especially young people, my generation and the generation below me, Generation Z, because we all feel like we're Superman or Superwoman and nothing can affect us. And, you know, we're young and want to live our lives and so on and so forth. But, you know, as I stated, there's two components to that. As I stated, you know, 2 weeks ago, that it's incredibly selfish to act recklessly because you could be carriers of the coronavirus if you're a young person, have it. and may give it to somebody that you love who is older than you, who doesn't have the kind of immune system that you do. You know, I've touched on that, but now we're even seeing young people in their 20s, you know, even in their teens, in their 30s, are admitted to hospitals and are passing away. You know, for me, it really got personal for me. And I've been taking this thing serious, you know, ever since, you know, I got sent home from WKAR to do my show. But, you know, for me, it really got serious when my fraternity brother passed away. I had a fraternity brother pass away over the weekend when it comes to the coronavirus. And it was just shocking. You know, I got the group message from my frat brothers on, I believe it was Saturday. And this is a young man. We're talking 22 years old, folks. 22 years old. So that stigma that you're young, and if you get it when you're young, you'll be fine, and everything is lollipops and rainbows. No. You know, this is a serious, serious matter here. So that really, really hit home for me, and you know, that adds to my second point here. For many out there, it will not really sit in your mind how serious this is. It will not truly impact you until a loved one of yours is affected in some way, shape, or form with this. Hopefully that does not happen for you to wake up. But also my sister lives out in New York City, and she has been sick. I'll just say that she has had a fever and has lost her sense of smell and taste. I don't know if she has it, but right now she's battling that at home. I've been having long conversations with her since Friday night, and, you know, she's in a position in New York where she can't travel right now, and she's feeling bad. She lives alone. It's just a really scary thing, so we're monitoring that closely. But take this thing serious. Take the necessary precautions because it is serious, folks. All right? Okay, moving along here in our headliners, I do want to touch on the Detroit Lions because they have added linebackers Reggie Ragland and Elijah Lee. They have both agreed to deals with the Detroit Lions. That announcement came on Friday. The team did not disclose terms of the agreements, but Lee's deal is for 1 year. A source told that to ESPN, and that was confirmed by the Detroit News. The addition of Ragland and Lee, along with the signing of Jamie Collins and release of team captain Devon Kennard last week, signal a major shift in the Lions linebacker room. At the very least, Detroit is trying to find added competition for a group that often struggled on one of the league's worst defenses last season. So Lions add Ragland and Lee there. Also, the Detroit Lions really have two of the most productive wideouts in the National Football League in Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay. And they are reportedly adding another target for Matthew Stafford this offseason. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the Lions have agreed to terms with former Green Bay Packers wide receiver Geronimo Allison. Allison has spent all four seasons with the Packers, and he recorded a career-high 34 receptions for 287 yards, 2 TDs, back in 2019. Green Bay signed Allison after he went undrafted in the 2016 NFL draft and had worked his way up the depth chart over the past few years. In 46 career games, Allison has recorded 89 receptions for 1,045 yards and 6 touchdowns. Matthew Stafford now has several capable targets under center, including Jones, Galladay, Allison, Danny Amendola, and also the tight end, TJ Hockenson. So I'm really liking what the Lions are doing offensively here. They've added also some pieces defensively. Hopefully they can compete for you all come the NFL season. All right, and as I mentioned, the International Olympic Committee spokesperson Mark Adams confirmed in a text message to USA Today Sports that qualified athletes will indeed keep their spots and not have to re-qualify, providing clarity on one of the most significant issues amid the fallout of the Olympic postponement. Reuters first reported the news on Friday. The IOC and Japanese officials announced Tuesday that they had agreed to postpone the games to the spring or summer of 2021 due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The first time in modern Olympic history that the games have been postponed. The decision prompted questions about the logistical hurdles and economic ramifications, such as move, but also confusion about qualifying. So those who did indeed qualify for this year's games are in come next year. And I believe we do have an official date. Right now, it's being reported that the Tokyo Olympics will open next year in the same time slot scheduled for this year's games. Tokyo organizers announced today that the opening ceremony will take place on July 23rd of 2021. That's almost exactly a year after the games were due to start. So again, mark your calendars. The opening ceremony is scheduled to take place on July 23rd, 2021. Hopefully the coronavirus pandemic will be at bay. We'll have to just wait and see. Also, during a radio interview on Thursday night, Kirk Herbstreit, he was asked about the prospects of teams taking the fall this season. So, will college football happen this fall? Now, Kirk Herbstreit, popular ESPN television personality, he is really good at his job. I really enjoy listening to Herbie on ESPN do the big games week after week, Saturday after Saturday, alongside Chris Fowler. They both do an amazing job, and people listen when Kirk Herbstreit talks because he knows his stuff. And he said that he would be, quote, shocked, end quote, if college football happened this fall. This is what he had to say by way of TMZ. Quote, I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall. If we have college football, I'll be so surprised if that happens. Just because, from what I understand, people that I listen to, you're 12 to 18 months from a coronavirus vaccine. I don't know how you let these guys go into locker rooms and let stadiums be filled up and how you can play ball. I just don't know how you can do it with the optics of it. End quote. Got a point there. If there is no vaccination and, you know, you're in a sweaty locker room, very close to other athletes. We all know how big a roster is when it comes to college football. We all know how crammed it can get in sporting stadiums. I mean, I'm kind of with Herbstreit here. I would be very, very shocked if we do see any kind of football this fall as well, NFL or college football. So, you know, because of the cancellation of March Madness, schools saw their revenue distribution from the NCAA drastically diminish. That is expected to take a heavy toll on non-FBS schools. If the college football season were to be canceled, that would severely impact FBS schools, especially those in the group of five. So we all know the financial ramifications right now when it comes to the cancellation and postponement in the world of sports is significant. But that is where we are at right now. All right, former New York Knickerbocker guard Stephon Marbury, who is like the guy in China. I mean, he went from the NBA to playing professional basketball in China and becoming a legend out there. I mean, I kid you not, he has a statue out in China due to his work as a Chinese professional basketball player. And Stephon Marbury is still out in China as a coach, and he is trying to arrange a deal that would deliver 10 million N95 masks to New York City. But he has run into some issues coordinating a deal between a Chinese company and the coronavirus-struck city. Marbury, he told the New York Post that he arranged for a supplier in China to sell the mask for $2.75 each, nearly two-thirds less than their standard price tag. This is what Marbury told the Post from Beijing, again, where he coaches the Chinese Basketball Association's Royal Fighters. Quote, at the end of the day, I am from Brooklyn. This is something that is close and dear to my heart as far as being able to help New York. He then added, quote, I have family there in Coney Island, a lot of family who are affected by this, so I know how important it is for people to have masks during this time, end quote. Marbury, he played in the NBA for 13 seasons, including five with the Knicks, before joining the CBA, where he played from 2010 to 2018, before becoming a coach last year. So, yeah, Stephon Marbury is born and bred in New York, and New York is the hotbed when it comes to the coronavirus in our nation, which is why, you know, as I stated, you know, I'm really nervous right now for my sister, but, you know, hey, just pray for her, keep her in your prayers. I'm going to stay positive, and we're going to get through this, folks. Okay, and last but not least, James Dolan, owner of the NBA's New York Knicks and the NHL's New York Rangers, he has tested positive for the coronavirus. That's according to the Knicks' PR Twitter account. Quote, he has been in self-isolation and is experiencing little to no symptoms. He continues to oversee business operations, according to the tweet. Both the NBA and the NHL suspended their seasons earlier in March due to the outbreak of the coronavirus. And also, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Doris Burke, who works as an NBA analyst for ESPN, she is one of the best at her job. I love listening to Doris Burke. Says that she is now symptom-free after testing positive for coronavirus earlier this month. And multiple NBA players, as you guys know, have tested positive, including Kevin Durant of the Brooklyn Nets and Marcus Smart of the Boston Celtics, who announced his diagnosis on March 19th. So, be safe out there, folks. Please, please, please be safe. What I want to do right now, again, when it comes to weighing in on these at-home editions on my end of current sports, you can still weigh in by picking up the phone and texting us at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Shoot us a standard text message, and you can weigh in on the show that way. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKARnews. Comment anywhere on that page, and you can tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll have a throwback look, a current sports remix, if you will, as we throw it back to a show back in May of 2018 in which I invited Michigan State golf head coach Casey Lubon to talk about his team's run that year in the NCAA tournament. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and, you know, as I mentioned, you know, last week, I'm getting a lot of feedback from you guys when it comes to the kind of sporting content that you would like to hear on Current Sports in the coming weeks as we try and get through and provide a distraction, a much-needed distraction for many out there when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic. And the feedback that I've gotten a lot is that, Al, we love looking back and listening to shows. It kind of reminds me how many of you are looking back at sporting events where you're watching old games that you enjoy of your favorite teams and favorite players, because it's whetting that sports appetite that is very, very hungry right now. So I reached out to you guys, and many of you have said that, Al, you know, can you look back at a few shows, you know, in these next few weeks or until, however long this coronavirus pandemic last, can you give us a look back at some of your favorite shows? And I said, of course, without a doubt, because right now this show is one that is kind of tough to do, to be honest with you. I mean, this is current sports. It's kind of hard to talk current sports if there are no current sports. so it definitely makes it a challenge to do so. You know, I feel like when it comes to my headliners now, for like the third week in a row, I've been talking about cancellations and those in the sporting world contracting the coronavirus, unfortunately. So, you know, that has really been dominating our headlines. You know, I haven't talked about a slam dunk or, you know, an assist or a touchdown, anything on the court, on the field related in quite a long time. And that certainly makes it a challenge, not just for me, but everybody in this business right now. But, you know, it's certainly fun to look back, and that's what you guys want. So, hey, we got to give the people what they want. All right, and I thought it'd be kind of cool because, you know, I mentioned in our headliners how there is no golf right now in the state of Michigan, which is very tough, you know, for guys like me because golf is my escape. You know, that's my number one escape. When I need to just relieve some stress, if a lot is going on in my life and I just want to get away, have some fun and just, you know, shift my mind into one of serenity, I book a tee time and head to the golf course. And, you know, as I stated in the headliners right now, with the pandemic going on, golf courses are closed in the state of Michigan and in a lot of different places across our great nation right now. So, you know, I thought it'd be kind of cool today to look back at a show that I did on May 11th of 2018. You know, it was such an, you know, when I was looking back at this show, it was such an odd show because I totally forgot that, you know, that year, Matt Patricia, you know, you know, when he first got hired, you know, first off, it was an interesting hire from the standpoint of, you know, him being from the Bill Belichick coaching tree. And that kind of gave a lot of Detroit Lions fans hope out there. And, you know, you're sitting there saying, all right, well, you know, Matt Patricia comes from, you know, he's just coming off a Super Bowl. He comes from great stock, you know, when it comes to, you know, the you know, his learning under one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. But you know, when he got hired here, a story came out of, you know, abuse and sexual assault back in 1996. And during that moment, it was so weird because Matt Patricia is trying to prepare for his first year as head coach with the Detroit Lions. And then, you know, this story comes out about him, being indicted, not tried, but indicted in a 1996 sexual assault incident. So, you know, this story comes out and immediately it's a shock to the NFL world. It's a shock to, you know, you guys as fans out there.
I like laying out the facts and letting you, after I do that, come up with your own opinion. All right. So this is what we know. These are the facts. Matt Patricia was arrested and indicted back in 1996 after an allegation of violent sexual assault. He was 21 years old. Patricia took a spring break trip with the Rensselaer Polytech Institute with a teammate and fraternity brother, Greg Dietrich, back in March of 1996 to a South Padre Island in Texas. The two were arrested after a female student, also vacationing there from another university, told police that the two men, whom she said she met on the beach one day, broke into the hotel room where she was staying and took turns violently sexually assaulting her. That's according to court documents and a news report acquired by the Detroit News. They were released from jail on a bond of $20,000. 5 months later, a Texas grand jury indicted the two men on one count each of sexual assault, which carries a maximum sentence of up to life in prison. For an indictment to take place, at least 9 of 12 jurors must find that there was probable cause to believe that a crime might have taken place. 9 of 12 jurors. And those findings have to be based on some kind of evidence that the jurors can point to. A court date was then scheduled for the following January. The case never went to trial, though. So the prosecutor dismissed the case. Neither the alleged victim nor Patricia nor Dietrich got the chance to tell their sides of the story in a public court seating because the alleged victim chose not to show. The accuser then requested that the court case be dismissed, and the prosecutor went through with the motion. That's, again, showing through court documents in the news. So the Lions, this is what we also know. Again, I'm just laying out the facts here. The Lions did not bring up the arrest to Patricia in his interview. Patricia said not only that the Lions never asked him about the 1996 allegation, but that no potential employer has in any job interview, for that matter. The Lions and the Patriots both released statements after the report came out to say that they did not previously know about the allegations. The NFL is reviewing the allegation. Although the Lions might be ready to put the discovery of the allegation behind them, the NFL was saying, we are going to look into this. We are going to check into it. We are going to see what is factual and what is not. The league made that announcement yesterday. The NFL conducting its own review to better understand what happened. So, those are the facts. And again, when it comes to the evidence that the grand jury had at the time to indict Patricia, again, at least 9 of the 12 jurors in this case voted that they saw probable cause. And I reiterate, you know, you just heard my stance. Again, I have no reason to believe that Matt Patricia is not telling the truth here. When you just heard that bite, when he says he's completely innocent, I am an innocent man. You know, it hurts me that this is coming out right now because I didn't do anything wrong. I have no reason to believe that Matt Patricia is guilty or innocent here. Or I should say, I have no reason to believe that he is guilty here because it didn't go to trial. He was never convicted of anything. He is an innocent man. All right. The problem that I have is the Detroit Lions organization and the New England Patriots organization here. You got to do your homework. Especially in 2018. So it's been, you know, more than 22 years now. The police report doesn't exist. And the key figures who worked the case state that they don't even remember the details of it. So it's unclear whether anything more will ever come to light. But, you know, you talk about reputation, something of this magnitude, anytime you're talking about sexual assault, you know, even if you're not guilty and haven't been convicted, again, we all know how the court of public opinion goes, and your reputation is stained. That's just how it goes. In the court of public opinion, you know, you don't know how many people out there I've seen on social media that are going after Matt Patricia's character and saying that, oh, something happened. Like, just speculating. You can't speculate in something of this nature because Matt Patricia was never found guilty when it comes to this situation. All I'm saying is that the Detroit Lions and the New England Patriots, or any job interview that he had since then, should have known that this was in his past.
But that day's guest is what I want to start with, and that is Casey Lubon, who is the head coach of the Michigan State golf team, men's golf team. Casey Lubon is a guy that I've certainly bounced ideas off of when I'm trying to figure out how to not hook the ball to the right every single time. And again, with him being the head coach of Michigan State men's golf, he has had a lot of success and has really elevated his program throughout his tenure. And during this time, you know, he joined the show to touch on his squad competing in the regional round of the NCAA tournament, being the 11th seed in the Columbus region. Here is my chat again, back in May of 2018 with the head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team, the great Casey Lubon.
So Casey, I mean, you talk about that preparation. I want to get to that preparation, sure, for the NCAA regional in just a moment. But I first want to get your take, because I mentioned at the top of the hour, you know, how I've been following the tour this year, and probably more so, you know, now in comparison to the last maybe 3 to 4 years because of Tiger Woods. Sure. I mean, he's back in the fold. You know, he's just playing 4 full healthy rounds. Yeah. I mean, he's playing in the players right now. It looks as though he's going to make the cut because the cut right now is at 1 under. But going into the tournament, who was your pick for the Players' Championship?
Oh, man. You know, you like guys with ball control. So Ricky Fowler's a popular pick there. Sergio's a popular pick. You know, I'm always surprised that the players on that venue, in that field, produces less known champions than the majors. It's a quirky little golf course, so picking is a mystery.
It's a crapshoot, though.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not a putting golf course because greens are so small. So you got to think about guys who can control their irons, Jason Duffner, guys like that. But anybody's guess is as good as mine. Who knows?
Right, and when it comes to that dream pairing of Phil Mickelson, he's not going to make the cut. Ricky Fowler, he struggled in round one. Tiger Woods, he's been up and down so far. But you know, you talk about that course, you know, TPC at Sawgrass in Florida. Have you ever played that course?
Yeah, I played it maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
What do you think of it?
I think there's a reason it has the reputation it has.
Right.
The last three holes are amazing. Incredible tournament setting. Kind of a quirky little golf course. A lot of irons, a lot of position shots for these guys who all bomb it now.
Right.
You'll hear, and I think Rory said this week, like when they first go there, it's not their favorite place.
Right,
you know,
right.
It doesn't really suit their games. Tiger has never really had success. So he made the one putt the one year.
Exactly.
And won.
Yeah.
It's not a pure golf course by their standards.
Right.
But it's a fun place. And it does exactly what the PGA Tour wanted it to do, is it feels like a big-time venue. Especially and coming down 16, 17, 18.
Very true. Yeah. And you know what, Casey? Speaking of fun, you know, here locally at Eagle Eye Golf Course, where you guys play a lot, you know, you and the team play a lot, the 17th hole, as you know, at Eagle Eye is a replica hole of the 17th hole at TPC at Sawgrass. So I'm curious. I mean, you played, you know, the real, you know, TPC at Sawgrass 17th, and you played the replica here at Eagle Eye. How do you normally shoot on that?
Oh, boy. You know, my last hole-in-one, was that last summer? I was there on 17.
Right.
That was my ninth hole-in-one.
Wow.
The one at Eagle Eye has a bigger body of water around it.
Okay.
Which changes everything. The green feels smaller.
Yeah.
They can actually play the hole at Eagle Eye a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one at Eagle Eye is considerably harder.
You think so? Yeah. Wow.
But
that's
saying a lot.
Okay.
I'm always amazed. The green speed's slower, so that changes a little thing. But I'm always amazed how many guys hit the ball in the water under docile conditions. If that was a sand bunker around that whole green, you would see those guys making two all day long. Once there's water and you got all those people there, goes to show you they're not immune to that pressure in that situation at all.
Not at all.
But the one at Eagle Eye, the green is almost, I mean, it is identical.
Yeah, I know it is. I mean, you can look at the picture. I mean, for those who aren't, you know, golf fans and golf enthusiasts listening right now, I mean, it's an island hole. So, you know, you got the hole, you know, you got the green out there in the middle of nothing but water all around. And, you know, how you get there is, you know, you got a patch of grass that you walk by to the left of it. And you hit over the water and you're trying to make it there on the green. It's a par three, obviously. It's so tough. I at least throw like five balls in the water anytime I play at Eagle Eye.
I'd love to have like a ball collection service and just go around and you scoop them up. But I give Eagle Eye a lot of credit. You know, it's a star attraction for them. And we're going to host the NCAA tournament the same week, 2 years from now, we're going to host the NCAA tournament there.
Amazing.
It's going to be very exciting.
It's a beautiful course.
Awesome.
For you, Casey, when looking at this year's PGA Tour, what have been some of your biggest takeaways?
You know, I think we've all come to the realization, you know, I grew up in the Tiger era, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my kids, we were in Hilton Head, South Carolina for an event, and Tiger was making a run at Valspar. And a beautiful day, 75 degrees, and I want them out there practicing. We got a tournament coming.
Mm-hmm.
And they were glued to the TV like I've never seen these kids who can't, they're not even looking at their phones. That's how glued in they are. And the power of Tiger Woods really hit me. And so as he comes back, I don't think we need him as an industry. We don't need him to be dominant.
Yeah.
We just need him to continue to mix it up with some of these guys. If you read Arm Contain's new book about Tiger, it's fascinating to me just that his whole life was training for that moment. And this generation's a lot more well-rounded. Ricky's a motorbike guy and motocross, and you know they all got Instagrams, and they're going all over the world, and they're doing things. Tiger was a golfer.
Right.
And watching Tiger grow into, you know, as you might have saw, he gave the guy with cerebral palsy a hug the other day.
I saw that, right.
When we start to see that side of Tiger Woods,
the human side of
our
Tiger,
our whole industry is going to go skyrocketing up. So
That's
what we've been watching, but there's so many good players now. I'd like to see him win. And I think he can win in July at the Open. I really do. I'd like to see him win one of these majors because golf would be the story for a month after that.
Definitely. And we're talking about a guy. It's so amazing to me because we're talking about a guy who had four back surgeries and that spinal fusion surgery that nobody thought he'd come back from. And then he had two knee surgeries as well. I mean, do you think, you know, you talk about growing up in the dominant era of Tiger Woods and, I mean, you know, beating the field by double-digit strokes. I mean, it was amazing when he was at his prime, what he was doing at the sport of golf, in the marketing of Tiger Woods. Do you think we will ever see anything like that again in the game of golf?
No.
It's one of a kind, right?
I don't think you're ever going to see a sport that's so reliant upon one human being to drive the whole sport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, golf courses were being built. Equipment sales were through the roof. Young people taking up the game. First tee chapters. He went away and all that hit, you know, a bottom. So I hope we don't see it again from a golf growth standpoint. I hope there's more well-rounded development. But when you read the book, and I'm not plugging the books, I don't know any of these guys, but I was taken away by the fact, we can talk about how talented he was all day long.
Right.
This guy was groomed to do this from 2 years old on. That will never happen again. These kids are more well-rounded now.
There's so many more distractions, so much more distractions, especially with social media as well, you know.
So, but I'm glad I got to see it. And I hope that his golf swing looks as good as it ever has to me mechanically.
Right.
And he's swinging fast. I hope he finds the groove with that old putter because he'll win again. He'll win a lot again.
I hope so. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team, Casey Lubon. All right, let's talk about your squad now, Casey. Again, as I mentioned, the Michigan State men's golf team will take part in the NCAA Columbus Regional when the NCAA released the entire 81 team field for the championships. The Spartans are the number 11 seed in the region, which will take place next week, Monday to Wednesday at the OSU Scarlet Course. Third consecutive NCAA regional appearance for you all, Casey. What does that mean for you in this program, that kind of consistency?
Yeah, when we talk about where the program has been, regional started in 1990. So this is only the third time we made it three consecutive years as a program, and that's the most we've made it consecutively. And this, to me, was a really touch-and-go year. We had three 19-year-olds starting. A fifth-year senior was his first year starting. We weren't experienced. We didn't overachieve as much as I thought we could, but we were never bad.
Right.
And making the NCAA tournament was the minimum standard for us for a great season. So when we have what I consider a up-and-down year with young guys and we still make it, I mean, that's justification for where we think we're at. And,
right.
And, we, you know, these guys are going to return next year. And I think we got a chance to win the Big Ten. So it was a cool day. Just real quick, the rankings are a computer formula, and you have no idea. And college golf on the men's side is so deep. You got to be one of the top 60 at-large teams. Well, no one knows what the computer is going to say. So going into the last day, we knew we were either first team out or the last team in.
Really?
And so throughout that whole day, we heard we were out, we heard we in. So the emotion of seeing that come up is huge validation for our program. And then we get Ohio State. Usually you get sent somewhere across the country. We get to go where we were 3 weeks ago, a place where I think we can make some noise this week.
Oh, so you guys are totally ecstatic. I mean, when you guys got the news, I mean, you're hearing all this throughout the day. Oh, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. Where were you when you got the news, and what was that reaction like?
Yeah, so it's funny. We had two guys in final exams that night, and the other three starters were there. One of them was a fifth-year senior.
Yeah.
If our name doesn't come up on that board on the Golf Channel, his career's over. And so I was there with the three guys and my two little girls and my assistant. And about 10 minutes before the show, I had gotten tipped off by somebody in the industry who says, "Hey, I heard you're in. Congrats." But
wow. You didn't tell them that.
I didn't tell anybody that. And the last they had heard, we were probably out. So seeing his face, Charlie Green, fifth-year senior captain, seeing his face, you know, almost emotional tears, like, I get to keep playing. I get to be with these guys for a couple more weeks. And after living on the bubble for 7 weeks, that feeling now, all that stress of being on the bubble flips to this is all an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
If we go down there and play bad next week, we go down and play bad. If we go down there and do something special, you know, it's all upside for us.
You guys are playing like you have nothing to lose, right?
We absolutely don't have anything to lose. We have two all Big Ten guys, freshman of the year in our league. You know, we got some stuff going for the future, but right now it's all guns blazing.
Amazing. I can't wait to see what you guys do next week, Casey. And, you know, since the Big Ten Championships ended last month, I mean, you know, and you kind of just did that reflecting on the season, right? I mean, you're pretty pleased with how everything ran out, right?
I think when you talk about 14 events throughout the year, we play in the best events in college golf. We only finished outside the top half of the field once.
Right.
That's a team that showed up every week, even when they weren't playing well, never packed it in, never got a bad attitude, never, you know, just mailed in an 81. We fought as hard as any team I've had. We weren't as smart as any team I've had because they're all 19.
They're young.
you think about, Izzo always says, footprints in the sand. What does your program leave behind? This program taught us how to play as hard as we can every week. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason they got in.
Wow.
You know, seventh at Big Tens. Everyone at Big Tens knows we're the one team that's on the bubble.
Yeah.
There's four teams ahead of us that are getting in and nine teams behind us that weren't getting in no matter what.
Right.
So we're playing for our lives and we never packed it in. It's pretty impressive.
And it is.
And there was times when I felt like they were about to break and they didn't. And as a coach, that's all you can ask.
Oh, you gotta love Casey, right? Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll play you a bit more of what Casey had to say during that episode of WKAR's Current Sports. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in 30 seconds.
About growing up. I mean, a lot of them grew up, right?
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Love that. All right. Well, we have about 5 minutes left here. Again, we're chatting with Casey Lubon, who is the head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team. Casey, I want you to just kind of just touch on this story because I know that the Spartan, you know, men's and women's teams are like family,
we
right?
Are. Absolutely.
And I didn't know this. I saw this story the other day when it comes to a local golfer by the name of Jacqueline Settis, mm-hmm. who, you know, went to high school at Lansing Catholic High School, and she had been diagnosed with cancer mm-hmm. and has been taking chemo. And, you know, I see, you know, I didn't even notice it until I read this article that, you know, Izzo and other coaches, you guys have been wearing these Settis Strong bands. How has that story impacted your program and the Michigan State athletic and golf family?
Sure.
And when did you hear about the story? And how is Jacqueline doing?
So, you know, it's been great. She's been around the last week just to see her smiling. And you know, she's, I'm sure like anyone who goes through that, she's got this great new perspective on life that's even better than it was before. She's just so happy. But the 24 of us, the 24 student athletes and the four coaches all played here. Stacy, you know, is one of my close friends, and
right.
Dan and Caroline played together, and we're all a family. So when we found out, you know, you think about the things you complain about every day. You know, this kid, you know, he's three putting too much, and this kid skipped a class, and we got to do this, and this facility's not in the right condition. The ability to step back and go, man, what are we complaining about every day?
Right.
And this kid has got a life threatening disease, and, probably got us all, and then I'll say the first day, all 23 of the other kids had this huge thing made for her. They all signed. They all put those bracelets on immediately, and they all had something else that was more important than the daily things they worry about. And that's how Stacy, I give her credit. She built a women's program that's unprecedented. But she never forgot that the men's program was going to come along with. When I was here, before I was here, when I was playing, mm-hmm. it was always – both programs were important.
Right.
And my assistant says it the best, you know, we don't have to do this. We choose to be one big program. And Mark Hollis and everybody who we've worked for, Bill Beekman, they encourage that. So we're happy for Jack. Her family's obviously dear to this community. They're wonderfully supportive of us. And I think she's going to be just fine.
So she's around the facility now. She's practicing
smiling
a little bit.
And, you know, she lost some of her hair and she just, she wears everything like a badge of honor. I mean, it's awesome. I'm really proud of her.
How have you seen that story and Jacqueline's fight, you know, impact your players?
Yeah, you always think that stuff happens away from your setting. It's not going to happen to me. It's not mm-hmm. going to be anyone I know. Jack is a social girl. She was friends with everybody, kind of a tie between the two programs as a social butterfly, kind of, in the best possible terms. And so, you know, that was they hit home. And these guys have a pretty blessed life, all of them, men, women, coaches, we're all blessed.
Right.
It was a moment of perspective for all of us. And I think if the guys are compassionate enough, which I know they are, to take a look, it put their problems in the right kind of scope so they could just go back out and play golf and be thankful for it.
All right. Thank you so much for tuning into this throwback edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It was a mix of the current and a mix of the not so current on today's Current Sports as we look back at a show in May of 2018 and my chat with Casey Lubon. head coach of the Michigan State men's golf program. And, you know, he had some candid words about Tiger Woods and the comeback. And then what does Tiger do? He comes back and wins the Masters, right? I'm missing just watching Tiger Woods as well around this time of the year. We're supposed to be talking about the NCAA tournament and the Masters, folks. Yeah, not so much right now. But on tomorrow's Current Sports, folks, on the Tuesday edition of the show, it will be a fresh one. I'm going to give some thoughts on what the Detroit Lions are putting together right now in the upcoming year. I'm also going to elaborate on the fact that the Big Ten has decided to extend the stoppage of team activities into May and what this means for Michigan State sports moving forward. And the absence of football this upcoming fall season, possibly. I'm going to touch on that and more on the Tuesday edition of the show, so you don't want to miss that. Until then, folks, as always, please be safe, be safe, be safe. I can't say that enough. And also, be easy, people. We'll see you tomorrow.